Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
I see light mango.
Dave Wunstedt.
5 o'clock. Make sure someone write that down for Alex so he has it, okay?
Tanner, you write that down for Alex.
Write that down for Alex so he knows.
NFL head coach for 11 years.
The Bears came in here and Dave Wunstedt. There's a happy group of overachievers that have been well coached.
College football national champion.
Dave Wunstedt, one of my, really idols.
Super Bowl champion.
These guys, it's tough to get any serious work done here, but...
Football analyst for NBC Sports and the Marquee Network.
Troy Aikman is going to join us.
My question with the Lions is, of course, with losing their two coordinators, and that's important. I'm a big believer in coaching. I know how much it impacted my career and our teams. And we lost Dave after our first Super Bowl. We lost Norv after our second. And it just really wasn't ever quite the same.
Thanks, Troy. We'll talk about it.
You bet, guys.
Form is something tall and strong. Make it a hurricane before I go insane. It's only 12:30, but I don't care.
He don't care.
I don't care.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere.
And that 5 o'clock is right here in the Score studios. It's Thursday. That means that our friend Dave Wunstedt is here in the building. He is repping Pitt hard.
Hey, do you know what this weekend is, guys? Backyard brawl.
Pitt versus West Virginia.
You got it. You got it. Saturday afternoon, prime time. I don't know. It's up to 7 now with Pitt.
What's the best part of that game, though? Going to that game and being around that game.
The bus ride in when they're throwing rocks and rocking the buses and, it's old school, you know?
Yeah. I mean, why? They hate each other?
I hate each coach. It's about an hour and 10-minute drive.
It's very
in a car.
Close.
And in the summer, during the season, our players will get on to Morgantown and party and make them up to Pittsburgh.
West Virginia is right there.
Yeah.
It's right there.
Exactly. So it's
so the fact that they'll party on each other's spots, so there's some love until there's not.
Can I tell you the favorite part about that game for me as a viewer? Because I do watch that game now.
Go ahead, Tanny.
It's when they show Coach on the crutches.
I had a ruptured Achilles. I went through two sets of crutches that game. Busting them, throwing them. Oh, Coach, I was out of control.
What were you hot about? What was going on?
What was I hot about? I was on a Pittsburgh show this morning, and I didn't realize that my quarterback, who is now assistant AD there, Pat Bostic, that he was going to be on the show this morning. I was on with Doran Dickerson, who was an All-American tight end there, played for the Bills. And all of a sudden, Pat comes on and says something, and I says, Pat, do you realize that the opening play of the game, you threw an interception? And that's when I had LeSean McCoy, and I said, he says, Coach, I threw two of them, which I realized that he did. And Shady, I think, had close to 40 carries, 3 broken ribs,
Yeah, but 2 broken crutches. So what'd you do? You throw a crutch and
I was
snap
throwing
him?
Some crutches, and I was, Coach, it was a dog. I told the guys, I said, I had a number one, my left tackle was a guy named Jeff Ota. He was a number one draft pick by the Carolina.
I remember Jeff Ota.
Played in the NFL a long time.
Yeah. Left tackle for the Carolina Panthers. So we get down there to Morgantown. And I said, listen, we're 28-point underdogs, okay? Let me start by saying that.
Wow.
Yeah, oh, yeah. They were number one in the country, going to play for a national championship.
Rich Rodriguez or no?
It's Rich Rod's last game he ever coached at West Virginia.
Wow.
Until
he just came back this year. But I told the team, I said, we got to play clean with turnovers. And I said, we cannot get into any of this scuffle stuff down there, guys. We can't do it. We can't give them anything. Okay, Coach. The first play of the game, they had a great team too. And the big defensive end, I forget his name, he is lined up on Jeff Ota. And these two guys come off, and it is like two rams. I mean, you could hear the collision on the sideline. And As soon as the guy blows the whistle, they start swinging. And there's flags. It's the first play of the game. And there's flags all over the field, and they're just wailing on each other. So I turned to my All-American linebacker, Scott McKillop, and I said, well, and he says, Coach, the brawl is on. The brawl is on. One play. That's how much they listen to me.
Was he gone already, or were you gone already? Did you have to deal with Tavon Austin at all at West Virginia? Because I remember watching him and being like, this dude
I think he was there for 1 year, but maybe a freshman or something.
I think you're right. I think maybe he's a freshman that year.
Cheers to little Bradshaw Bourbon getting this thing started here. Happy hour. Let's go.
There you go. It's 5 o'clock right damn here. Right damn now. Dave Wanstead on a Thursday means a raise of the glass to all you out there, Coach.
Let's do it.
Got a lot of Bears fans out there. They've been living with this one all week long.
Fortunately, it was a short week.
Yeah, I know. Like we turned a page and we want to talk some Lions, but there's lingering feelings about this offense and Caleb and Ben all around the conversation, all around the league, isn't there?
Well, you know, I guess everybody was expecting to see the Detroit Lions, okay, you know, first or second in the league in scoring, second in the league in yards after the catch.
Mm-hmm.
That was kind of the feeling that that I think everybody had, including myself. And, those plays weren't there. I mean, we obviously were trying to dial them up and give Brian Flores and Minnesota credit. I mean, they covered a lot of them. And let me tell you guys, the two tackles that they signed, those two guys, Hargrave,
yep,
and Allen, these two free agent guys, they're two defensive tackles. They had 13 pressures on Caleb. All last year, the Vikings' two tackles had a total of 20 for the year. They had 13 in one game. So my point was that these guys are going to make a difference on that Minnesota defense, you know, and they did. I mean, Caleb was under pressure all day. I mean, our offensive line, I mean, they were doing as good a job as they could, but these guys are special players, man. It's that was a tough go. It won't be that way this week, but
Coach, it was really interesting, like what Brian Flores did. Like, and we were talking about earlier in the week, where you look at the beginning of that game against the Bears, and you go, "Oh, instead of being the guy that's showing you stuff and bringing fire blitzes and going cover zero, he went drop seven, drop eight early."
Yes, yes, yes.
In the game, and Caleb did okay against that. But I thought it was interesting that with all of the Brian Flores is going to be bringing all these exotic blitzes, he didn't choose to do that. Is there something there that other defensive coordinators might try? Because it's not that strange of a strategy that Notre Dame used back against Caleb at USC. Utah used that same defensive look against him too. Are we seeing a trend on how he might be defended against?
Well, I think it comes down to, can the defense create pressure without blitzing? You know, if they can, why would you take a chance and blitz? But I think Brian Flores went into this game and he says, boy, Ben's going to want to – I mean, keep in mind, Ben was – when he was at Detroit, he was 5-1 versus Brian Flores in that Minnesota defense.
They averaged more than 30 points a game.
Did they really?
Okay, yes, sir.
So the point is that Brian came in here and says, I'm not going to give you the big play. And you're right. That first check down that he threw, they were in a blitz look, and they dropped out and played a two-deep zone secondary. They were over the top, and Caleb just hit the check down. Guess what they did the second half when they started playing man, and now all of a sudden that check down wasn't there. You know, they were up there tight on him. So they made a nice little adjustment there. But, you know, I think Caleb proved that he can make plays on his feet. You know, I mean, the couple scrambles that he made were outstanding. He's probably a better athlete. At least, God, he looked quicker to me, like the way he was moving around.
Me too, Coach. We talked about it. I was saying in the thread, and I heard he was asked about it last night, actually. He looked faster.
Yeah, he did.
Than he was.
He said something that shocked me, and I was like, I meant to go look this up, but now I actually am looking it up. Because he was talking about lowering his shoulder into a runner.
He said, I'm 230.
And I was like, is he really? And he's listed at 226.
He said he's a big person. He's a very large and compressed human. human or something like
that. Yeah, he did say he was a compressed human.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I was like, me too, Caleb.
I don't want him like throwing his shoulder into people, though.
You know what he said, though, about his speed, though, which was interesting, is that he runs as fast as he needs to stay away from people,
John. That's USC talk. That's what Marcus Allen, when they came in to time Marcus Allen at USC, he wouldn't run a 40. And Coach Robinson, you know, I had just got there, and he was the coach then, and the Scots came up and said, we got to get a time on Marcus. What does he run? And John Robinson said he runs as fast as he has to.
That's awesome.
Caleb did say that he has gotten up to 22 miles an hour, and he was, like, back in the day, he was a running back. So, he takes a lot of pride in some of this stuff.
Yeah, but, you know, here's the thing. He's real good running. And I'll get, and he's good on the edge, making guys miss and creating, and he can throw on the run.
He can throw with zip.
Ooh, man, he can throw with zip and with accuracy. It is awesome. What we haven't seen yet and what this offense needs is for him to just stay back there and make the throw in structure at the top of his drop. I'm looking right here, Coach, at time to throw for every quarterback in the NFL. And the fastest quarterback this past week, just week number one, this shouldn't be a surprise, it's Aaron Rodgers, number one. Just go back, see it, throw it. Bing, bang, boom.
Yep.
And he's also not going to scramble and extend plays very often. Matthew Stafford is up there, okay? And Michael Penix is up there.
Oh, really?
In terms of fastest.
That kind of surprised me, because I would expect the other two, because Tom Brady and Peyton Manning, they were having a big discussion on this quarterback thing. And, you know, they said, by the time we get to the line of scrimmage, we know where we're going with the ball. You know, I mean, they were that confident in reading the coverage. So a young quarterback, for Penix to be able to do that.
Well, remember, he's not young. He's just inexperienced. Yeah. He's an older guy.
And he's also a guy, though, who
bad knees.
Bad knees. And this is the book on him, is that he has a great arm, but he will throw quick. Tua's up there, too. Didn't work this past week, but that's been the Tua thing as well.
I don't want to get hit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Dead last in time to throw, far and away the longest time, is Jalen Hurts, who scrambles around, makes things happen, and can get away with it. He's a Super Bowl winner. And by the way, I never paid it off. That's the best quarterback in the NFC. Not on pure throwing, if people want to think of it that way, but that dude just wins and he scores touchdowns.
Here's a football player. Here's the best football player at the position.
In the NFC. That is easily the guy that I'm picking.
Fair enough.
I trust it.
I got no problem with that.
I trust
it. If that's your choice, I can stand behind that choice, because there's evidence to back it up.
Yeah.
And he's been a guy that I think has been treated so poorly because he wasn't a first-round pick. And all he's done is one game.
And he's unconventional in some ways.
What are we talking about the Eagles?
Sorry, Coach.
You guys are unbelievable.
We like talking football, Coach.
I'm only here so long.
Yeah.
I'm going to be finishing my drink if I don't get to talk.
I forgot Wani was here. It's 5 o'clock. We got drinks poured.
Well, it's 5:15.
So the second longest to throw of any quarterback is Caleb Williams.
Yes.
Ironically tied with Justin Fields. And then Kyler Murray is there as well. So those are the four guys who took the longest to throw. Caleb, I mean, this offense, it's only 1 week, Coach, but this offense was supposed to be shortening that time and about shortening that time. ESPN ran a graphic about it saying, well, he's supposed to throw it shorter. He was the second longest to throw of any quarterback in the NFL.
Because he moved around and scrambled, you know, and, you know, it's... The positive was that he made plays on his feet. You know, he didn't have a rushing touchdown all last year, as we know. So he had two. So that's a positive. And the other thing was he didn't throw an interception. Okay. So you don't want the guy going out there and throwing two interceptions. You got no chance. Okay. No chance to win. So he is doing those things right. But I think the play action passes will come the better they run the football. You know, we had 35 passes and 20 runs. You know, if you really want to pop one over the top, you know, the first play of the game, they line up. He's under center. The running back's dotted, you know, in the neutral position behind him. And they go play action pass. Well, you got to be the last man in the world to think that, you know, to bite up on that. They haven't run it yet. You know what I mean? I mean, so at least that's the way I would look at it on a defensive standpoint. I mean, what are you running up there for? It's the first play of the game and they go pass.
Yeah.
But so anyway, I thought there were some good things, but he's you know, it's maybe you move him a little bit more in the pocket. You know, there's everybody panics and says, oh, you move your quarterback.
You cut half the field.
And you cut the half the field, blah, blah, blah. But, well, the other side of that coin is you have a run-pass option. So if you got a quarterback that's athletic and he's on the move, okay, and he's out on the edge.
And we know Caleb can throw on the move.
And it might be a two-receiver route rather than four or five.
We can't do this yet.
But at least the ball's coming. I'm just telling you.
We can't
do this yet. I'm not talking about – I would just add a couple of those. That's all I'm saying.
But, Coach.
Get the most out of him. Get him comfortable getting the ball out.
We can't do this yet. Like, it's worth losing games to figure out whether this kid can learn what you need him to learn. Isn't it? Like, that's...
I don't know if it's... I don't think it's learning. I think it's being able to just sit in there when those guys are in front of you. I want everybody to watch the game this week. When he's getting pressure inside, where are his eyes? The eyes are as big a deal as anything with quarterbacks. Trust me on this. Are his eyes still looking at the receivers? Because if you look down at the rush... And you look up, all of a sudden, a receiver that was open is now double covered. Or, you know, they change again. Things happen that fast in the NFL in the secondary that you have to be zeroed in, and you've got to ignore that pressure. I mean, you know, and then Troy was on, a couple of weeks ago, or last, you know, God bless him. But Troy would get hit, and I remember Jimmy Johnson saying, Troy, you got to get the ball out. You're going to, you know, and he says, Coach, I'm just, you know, Michael's going to be open. I know he's going to be, and he's only going to be open for a split second, and I'm going to wait on him. I'm going to get the ball there, and he did, and he took some hits. You know, now, today you can't even hit the quarterback, so it should be better today. You know, I mean, standing there, they're not going to hit you. It'll be a penalty.
But the principle is the same. You got to stay in there.
Same. I mean, it's, you know, absolutely.
Let's talk more about...
And then the running game. We got to get to the running game.
That's what I was going to go
to. Go ahead, Lawrence.
So,
let's go.
So let's... What's wrong?
Now I'm ready.
What's wrong with this run game,
19
Coach?
Minutes in, we got there.
Because I feel like... Well, I told Olin earlier today, because when you introduced me to Norv, yep. Norv talked with me a little bit about this, about the idea of, if it's a zone run game, show the respect to the coach to not make your cut before you get to the line of scrimmage. And I see a little bit of that going on.
Do we have a board in here that I can draw?
No? Yeah, well, you could draw on this one.
Yeah, for sure.
Let me try to explain this, okay? When you're an inside or outside zone running team, mm-hmm. everybody's stretching, the back starts stretching, and then you cut it back, okay?
Okay.
The back has a feeling to, oh, man, Lawrence, you...
I'm trying to help out, Coach.
Drop a formation there while I'll keep talking. Oh, here, give me the damn thing.
Folks, giving the listeners play-by-play right now, Dave Wanstead is grabbing a grease pencil. He's drawing up a formation. He asked Lawrence, his sous chef here, or assistant coach, I guess it would be, if he would draw up a formation.
I'm going to try to make this real simple.
And Dave's going to try and make it
simple. Tony Wise is always a great sous chef as well. So
this is like my favorite stuff that Dave does.
I know.
Because he would do this at the desk at NBC Sports Chicago in breaks, where he would just draw stuff up.
And would you help him out? Because Tony Wise isn't here, and that's the big crime.
Okay, if you're going to run a zone play, inside or outside zone play, the back starts stretching.
Hold on.
And everybody here is reaching. Everybody's taking the same steps, okay?
Okay.
And your back is looking for a soft spot, okay? In other words, this guy gets reached, he's going to hit it there. This guy gets reached, he's going to hit it there, depending if it's an inside or outside zone. Now, here's how do you defeat that? When we would see that, these guys got to get penetration up the field.
This is a real treat for the Twitch viewers, for the listeners. Trust us, it's great.
Twitch.tv/Chicago670thescore.
This is what was happening. These defensive linemen that they have that are great players, they are getting up penetration in the backfield, okay? They're just pushing. They're not getting off the block. Now the back takes one step. This was swift, and this is closed. Now he tries to cut back. There's not enough room for him to cut back.
We saw that time and again on Monday night, Coach.
That's what I'm talking about here, okay? Now, Tony Wise, we weren't a inside-outside zone team, because if you penetrate, we were a block down, kick out team. We were a up the field, a trap team. So teams that, okay, thank you, Alex. So teams
good that, job, Alex.
Teams that are aggressive with their defensive line, you can trap them, right? You can double kick them out. Because they're gonna be there's gonna be seams because they're getting up the field.
Because the defensive linemen are just charging straight up. So does Ben need to change his schemes?
No, God, no. No, not at all. Not at all. I mean, it's I'm gonna give Minnesota credit that they just did a nice job of gap control and taking away the cutbacks. That's in layman terms, that's kind of what they did there. So I don't know if that helps you there or not, but it
helps quite a bit. And I'm just going to, because I'll forget this after the show, because I'm really dumb after the show. Let's get Coach like a mini dry erase board. So the next time that he's in here, he wants to draw something up, he can just draw it.
That's a great idea.
Well, here's the other thing, too.
With fun fashion colors for grease pencils.
I was a little I wasn't disappointed. I was surprised. Surprised, not disappointed. I mean, I'm on board all the way. I love this defensive staff. Ben Johnson, these guys are fantastic, okay? So I'm on board with everything. I was just surprised, let's use that word, that my man Kyle Manungai did not get any carries. At the end of the game, that's all he did at Rutgers was all we needed to do was 2 yards, 3 yards, get some first downs, use the clock. And I just don't think that's DeAndre Swift. If I'm defending DeAndre Swift and it's first down, second down, I'm nervous, okay, as a defense coach. Is he going to run it? Are they going to throw him a screen? Is he going to be out in a route matched up against my linebacker? This guy does it all.
Are they going to figure out a way to do what now, Aaron Jones did to Noah Sewell?
Now, okay, it's the end of the game. I know you're going to run it.
4 minute
offense. You know you have to run it. To me, that's not DeAndre Swift's cup of tea.
No, it isn't, Coach. And, you know, they've needed that. They've needed that guy all offseason, and we've been waiting for it. I assumed it was going to be Manungai from the jump.
Well, maybe something was off, and they have their reasons. Trust me, because when I was up there at practice, I stood right there, and he was getting the ball with that first group and running the ball, and Ben was all – everybody was on board. So what happened, I don't know. But that's – you throw it to score points, you run it to win games, and you got to be able to close that out at the end somehow. You know, when you got that big a lead, God, you just – it makes you sick. I mean,
Yeah, 17-6, first coach. And 10 on their 24.
And nobody knows – everybody forgets about this J.J. McCarthy. Okay?
Well, how about this, Coach? We need to take a break. Let's talk about J.J. McCarthy after the timeout.
He's on fire.
And for people who are asking, yes, we will post that demo. For those of you who weren't able to see it.
No, I don't know. I don't want to get into that.
Why not?
Well, I don't know.
What you just did.
Oh, okay.
Well, teach people football, Coach. This is what you do for a living. We need to learn stuff. We like to know stuff.
They all want to be called
Coach,
too.
We're giving you a dry erase board.
Well, just know that this is positive stuff. This is not being critical.
No, people just want to see it.
Because their line coach, I mean, the guy is as good as they come. And,
Dan Roschar.
And, yeah, these guys know what they're doing.
There's no positive or negative attached to it. It's just the idea of they hear you all the time. There's a difference between them hearing you and you coaching them. And seeing you on the board gives them an opportunity to be coached by you. That's what's great about it. That's how I always felt when we did breakdown stuff. I was getting coached.
I need a drink. Go ahead.
We need to take a break.
Two more fingers.
We will talk about Detroit. We will talk about J.J. McCarthy. All that is next with Dave Wannstedt here on The Score.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Dave Wannstedt.
And I'm always available unless I'm doing something.
With Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
Coach, let's talk about J.J. McCarthy. You watched him. What impressed you?
Well, I think there was a because they ran the ball so much at Michigan, and then he sat out last year. I had a lot of people say, oh, God, I didn't realize he was a decent quarterback. And my comment is, hey, remember when in the college football playoff, they were down, okay, losing to Alabama.
I remember very well.
Nick Saban defense. And he in less than about 4.5 minutes or whatever it was, he takes him down the field and scores. And then they get the ball in overtime. He takes him down the field and scores again. And they win a national championship. But so my point was that this guy, I think, was just in a situation where he wasn't called on to do much of this, you know. And
he made throws when everybody knew he was going to have to make throws.
Yeah.
You love that.
I do. Well, you know, and
like fourth quarter and he's crunch time.
I tell you, Kevin O'Connell does a great job with him. You know, so, I mean, he you know, that was a big – I mean, coming back here in your hometown, you know, from out there in Hinsdale, I mean, Coach Racky, the head coach out there, I mean, the guy played for a school, you know, Nazareth Academy mm-hmm. out there. I mean, they won. They're going for their fourth in a row state championship. So I mean, it's as good a program as you're going to have at a high level. And then he went. So I mean, my point is that I wasn't totally surprised. You know, I really wasn't.
Well, you saw him a ton in Big Ten. Yeah, like, you saw him a lot at Michigan.
And he made the throws with Harbaugh, and he was tutored by Harbaugh. Yes, in high school, by you know, but then all of a sudden now he's with Jim Harbaugh. And he's getting the treatment at Michigan. So high school, top level, Michigan, and now obviously with Kevin O'Connell.
If you're the Lions defense with their new coordinator and Dan Campbell, and you watched what the Bears did on Monday night, now you get them coming in on the road. You licking your chops. I mean, what are you doing? What's your thought process?
My first thought is bring up, guys, make sure everybody packs their mouthpieces, okay? Put your mouth, make sure you got it, because it's going to be a physical game. It's going to be a real physical game, and I think they're going to come in. I think Detroit's going to want to run the ball, and that's how their play action works. That's how any play action works, is establishing the run, and they've got two really good backs, as we know. We don't need to get into it. So, you know, I mean, our defense is going to be in for a physical game, a lot more physical, I think, than last week. And offensively, I don't know where Detroit's at. You know, they got a lot of their guys back, but they didn't play very good last week on defense. You know, I mean, Green Bay went up and down the field on them. So I think there's some real opportunities. I think Ben, you know, obviously knowing their scheme, they got new coordinators, but it's not like they came in and made wholesale changes. So he understands the scheme, and he also understands the strength and weaknesses of certain players, offense and defense. And that's a little bit of an advantage. You know, everybody does something a little bit better. One guy might be a little better against the run than the pass. The other guy might be good at man coverage, but not very good at zone. You know, so Ben's going to know these things, and hopefully we'll be able to take care of them. You know, we got to get our special teams though too, you know. And think about this, and I've said this on this show for years, whether it's high school, college, or the NFL, in the first two or three games of an NFL of a football season, there's as many plays, wins or losses, determined with special teams as there are with offense and defense.
Why?
New guys. Every place in NFL, everywhere you put high school, it's your backup guys that you don't want to use as starters. Same thing in college, same thing in the NFL. You know, you're not going to have all your starters on the field goal team and the punt team and all this stuff. So that's where your backups have to get in there, and they got to perform. And they're generally younger players. It's new, you know, whatever the reason. And, you know, I was disappointed. And you got to win two of the three phases to win the game. And our special teams, you know, we get a punt block. People forget about that. They get a hand on one of our punts. They return punts against us more than I like. They return kickoffs more than I like. We miss the field goal, the 50-yard field goal. You know, so, I mean.
And then the play at the end of the game.
And the play at the end of the game. So we had enough, in my mind, negative plays and special teams to to not really help us. They call it the hidden yardage. You know, all of a sudden it's a 10, 15, 20-yard punt return rather than a no punt return. And you get two or three of those, and all of a sudden it adds up to 40 or 50 yards. It's a field goal.
Yeah, man. Speaking to one of the themes of the show this week about the special teams, and it makes all the sense in the world, Lawrence, those first three, four games of the year when, you know, units are trying to, you know, work themselves out, and the special teams, the best coordinators are probably making their money most at that time.
No doubt about it. And the thing is that this is a city where you can't snow people about special teams.
No, we know it. We had Dave Tobe for a long time. Mm-hmm. We know what good special teams are. We got Pat Manley on this radio station. We know what we're supposed to see.
Yeah, there we go.
What happened to my mind? There we go. What are you shutting me off here, Alex? You never know when I'm going to talk. Just leave this thing on, okay? What was I saying? Oh, Pat Manley. Yeah, talk to Pat about that.
Yeah.
I would be – I mean, you know, how much I respect Pat. I would love to hear Pat's thoughts on
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Hey, look, we'll talk to him, all right?
Yeah,
don't worry, Coach.
Let me know.
We'll talk to him. We'll get back to you on that.
This segment with Dave Wonstead is brought to you by Four Winds Casino, your entertainment escape. Let's do some picks.
Can I talk football here for a minute?
It's time for the Four Winds Forecast with Dave Wonstead.
Put your mouthpiece in, because here we go.
Presented by Four Winds Casino in New Buffalo and South Bend.
All right, I got hammered. The Dolphins crushed me last week, people, but I'm telling you what, I'm back on them. Okay, they're at home. They're playing the Pats. It's a point and a half. I'm taking the Dolphins. If they don't win this, everybody's fired probably. So I think they'll play good. All right, I'm taking everybody. You know, on the team they beat was the Colts. The Colts aren't. You know, I'm not sold on the Colts. I think Denver beats the Colts. I'm on the Broncos over the Colts. I'm on the Falcons over the Vikings.
Ooh.
All right, I like the Falcons to win that game. And then lastly, I'm going with my old quarterback. I like Jim Harbaugh in the LA Chargers to beat the Raiders.
That was the Four Winds Forecast every week with Dave Wonstead. Experience the excitement at Four Winds Casino, New Buffalo, and South Bend. With award-winning cuisine, the latest slots, a variety of table games, and luxurious hotels. Four Winds Casino, your entertainment escape.
Falcons to beat Minnesota in Minnesota on a Sunday night, coming off this win.
Coach, I do. I don't know. I like the Falcons. I just think the running game, I'm impressed with Penix.
You're not alone.
Their defense is impressed.
I'm worried about those Dolphins, Coach.
Well,
they got a lot of stuff
going on. Don't worry about
on.
The Dolphins. You better worry about Mike McDaniels and Chris Greer, the GM. That's what you better worry about.
Well, I mean, you know, there's an investigation into Tyreek Hill going on right now, too. So that
was disappointing last week. God, I mean, it's horrible.
Hey, my brother's my brother's a big Dolphin fan. You know, he's a huge Wonstead fan. And he texted during that game and he said, Tua's broken. McDaniels sucks. It's terrible. Like, burn it all down. He's ready.
No, it's not good. Hey, when's my invitation coming to
the bar mitzvah?
Bar mitzvah this weekend.
Oh, that's a good.
I get it. Let me see here, unless something came in the mail.
I sent it to you.
Did you?
Yeah. I totally sent it to you.
Yeah, let me see here. I got.
Damn it. You're right. I invited
Ruben's bar mitzvah.
I invited counsel on the air. I should have invited Coach. You want to come? What are you doing Saturday morning? It'd be an honor.
I'm going to Loyola to watch my grandson play.
See?
Ninth grade team.
I knew you couldn't go anyway.
Yeah, ninth grade team. I'm going up there to see if he'll hit somebody.
You can.
Narrator. He did not invite Coach Wonstead.
How about this? He didn't play football. He's a hockey player. So 2 weeks ago, they're playing Mont Carmel, okay? Ninth grade team. He gets in the game. And
it's your grandson.
Yeah, but grandson. And he gets off a block, and he makes a great play on the quarterback, starts scrambling, twists his ankle.
Oh.
So I said, you know, so he missed last week, but he's back this week. So we'll see. Hopefully he'll get some action. We'll see.
You know, how Ruben's, the bar mitzvah crowd, they'd go crazy if you showed up.
Yeah.
Even for 10 minutes.
Well, you didn't invite him.
You got bourbon, coach? You serve him bourbon?
Not that early.
All right.
No.
I'll see you next week.
By the way, Pittsburgh to Morgantown, 75 miles.
Woo!
Yeah, very close.
Ain't
yeah.
nothing.
I'm not going to tell you. I mean, Pitt's going to win the game, but I'm not going to tell you to get on them now. I got on them the minute the clock hit zero. I was watching the end of the West Virginia-Ohio University game. The minute the clock hit zero, I dialed it in. It was 2.5. Now it's 7.
Woo!
So I got Pitt giving up 2.5.
Ohio University, the Fighting John Greenbergs.
Yeah, they beat them. Ugh.
So we have to take a break. Coach, you are the best. Thank you. And we'll get you a smaller dry erase board.
And we'll do some stuff.
We'll do some stuff.
Okay. Sounds good, guys.
That's Dave Wanstead.
Sorry to bother you, Coach.
Didn't mean to bother.
When we come back, we've got a fun announcement, especially if you're a Bears fan that likes to travel. We'll explain next here on The Score.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.